It's Saturday morning. It is 10 o'clock, and this is the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And it is the day after Christmas, so to all of our Canadian friends, happy Boxing Day. And for the rest of you, what should I say, happy hangover, or hope you're not freezing your toes off, or one of those things. It's a beautiful day, but it's chilly. But the nice thing about Florida, rather than place that so many of us grew up, is it will change, and it will change soon, and it will become beautiful. And they're saying that's by the mid to the end of the upcoming week. So there's something to look forward to. That's a good thing. All right, I hope everybody had a good time yesterday, and you can settle in for hopefully the whole hour. If you're a regular, welcome back. We'll try to, as usual, do some teaching and entertaining all at the same time. And if you're new to the show, whether it's by accident or on purpose, try to stick around. And, you know, we are in the midst of so many things that we could probably talk for from now till 5 o'clock. But we'll spare you that and hit the highlights that we want to talk about. Unless, of course, you decide you want to change the direction. And then all you got to do is pick up the phone and dial 904-222-8255. We will put you immediately to the on the air. And we'll talk about whatever you want to talk about. As usual, we will have a trivia question after the first break. And then just a whole bunch of what happened and what might happen, and the good, the bad, and the ugly of what's happening in this country today. And this is from the guy who's not afraid to ask the tough questions like, just how broken is Washington? And if we can understand that in an hour, it'd be a miracle.
It's, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I don't think it's any different than it's been. It's just more, maybe a little bit more concerning right now.
It is. And, you know, this is the time of year when you don't want to see Americans hurting. We're supposed to be happy and prosperous and joyful and all those things. And, man, they're making it difficult.
Yeah. Although I somewhat disagree that the payment to everybody needs to be that much higher this time around. I think there is a specific set of the population that could use more money, but that is basically what unemployment insurance is for.
Yes, so they have trouble with the discretionary aspects of things like this.
Yeah, so I don't understand what all the fighting is about. Just get it done and get money in the hands of people that need it.
Yeah, but get it done last August when we need it.
Exactly.
You want to know something really disheartening or whatever to me? This new, I call it son of stimulus, and I'm going to be spending a lot of time on it today. This new law is being partially funded by the $580 billion from the previous one that was unspent.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if it was so damn important to these people to get a bill of that size for a temporary bailout, why is there $580 billion left over?
Just a rounding error.
Good morning, Phil.
Good morning, the Van Wees. You guys are awesome. You bring something to the table that many other people would like to do, and it's always a pleasure to listen to you. I know that on the financial and everything and on your expertise, you will have an excellent, outstanding 2021. And I want to thank you on behalf of our small town of Orange Park in Clay County in Northeast Florida, people who do not call in, for all the good you do every day throughout the year. And I am looking forward for another 20 years, God willing, to listen to you on Saturdays starting 10 a.m. And I didn't mean to get into your time. I apologize.
That is okay. Absolutely. In fact, you can keep talking if you want to.
in the year, maybe February, March, we'll get together and treat you at Ruth Chris's or something like that. We'll get to get a night. You'll get to meet me face to face.
Well, we're not going anywhere.
Nope.
Me neither.
And, that sounds like a fun time.
Stay warm, and I'm going to let you go because it's just such a privilege and pleasure to associate with you and listen to you, all your divine goodness. Thank you.
God bless. Thanks so much,
Phil. And Merry Christmas.
Yeah, you know, this is our last show of the year.
I know.
Just dawned on me.
It is.
You know, I was very discouraged this week. You know why?
Nope.
Because I looked at the calendar because I got thinking, you know, Friday's Christmas and Friday's going to be New Year's. And it's not a leap year, which means next year, both of the holidays are Saturdays.
That's right.
What's next? You're going to be our seventh year? Are we in the seventh?
It will be our seventh, I believe. Yeah,
that starts February 1st. But in all that time, the only two times that we have not been here live is when the city was evacuated and the station was shut down and we couldn't. So our record has been absolutely 100%. And then next year, we aren't going to be able to do shows on Christmas and New Year's, probably, unless they decide to change the format.
Yeah,
I wouldn't do it anyway.
Not going to come in on Christmas.
No, I wouldn't do it. Well, I'd do New Year's, but I wouldn't do Christmas.
Yeah, New Year's, whatever. I could do that, but Christmas is a no go. So
yeah, exactly right. But anyway, that's 7 years of being live every week. Not bad. Speaking of which, this, as I mentioned, Friday is New Year's Eve, and we will be here live on Saturday.
We certainly will.
Or what's set? No, Friday, whatever. Next week, we'll be here live.
Yeah.
Don't make me overthink this.
Still on Saturday.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Anyway, what's gone on lately is that the market is defying gravity.
Well, this week, not so much. It was basically flat.
Yeah, it's still on the upside of flat for the most part, not all of it. But the point is, with the stuff that's happening, it gets more and more incredible to me that the market seems bulletproof. So that's all I'm going to opine about that. It's up to you now. Let's tell the folks what happened.
Yep. There's just a few more trading days that remain in 2020, and barring some kind of real fallout in the market and this coming week, 2020 is going to wrap up with a great year. That may not be true for other parts of the world right now, but in the stock market, it certainly is true. This week was basically flat. The S&P dropped 0.2%. The Dow was up 0.1%, and the NASDAQ tacked on just under 0.5%. For the year, though, the Dow is now up 5.8%, the S&P 14.6%, and the NASDAQ up 42.7%. Just really astounding.
And it would be astounding if we didn't have the big COVID crash in the spring.
Yeah, no doubt. I don't think anyone would have guessed what those numbers would be if we went back to March, when circuit breakers were being tripped during overnight trading on the futures markets and everything was doom and gloom, and there was just so much uncertainty, which there's still a lot of uncertainty, but at least there's some of that on the positive side instead of all on the negative side.
Well, if we'd known then what we know now, I would have sold a couple of my kids and invested the money and then bought it back later.
Yeah, good idea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You wouldn't have been one of them, though.
Oh, thanks.
Because I needed you here.
Okay. So I guess that begs the question, where does that leave us going into 2021? You mentioned valuations. That's something I want to talk about after the break.
Good.
They are lofty, to say the least.
Yes.
But there is some reason for that. So we'll talk about that more once we pay some bills.
The anticipation of future profits is what it's based on right now.
Well, I think interest rates has something to do with it as well.
Well, it didn't hurt anything. But my point is, if we don't deliver, look out.
It's going to be a problem.
And it won't be too much longer than we're going to start to find out how these things are actually going. But there's a lot to talk about, and part of it, I mean, it's all financial, but part of it's on the political side, some of it's on the valuation side, and so on. So we're going to have a busy second segment, so don't go anywhere, and we'll be right back. You're listening to the Van Wee Financial Hour on the day after Christmas. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
And we have, as usual, a trivia question, as usual, sponsored by Ken Bales at First Coast Alarm. You can get a hold of Ken at 904-636-7888. Now, I've been hearing stories, reading stories for some number of years now about how overpaid federal workers are. You've been seeing those?
Overpaid? I mean, it depends.
The package of, they've got the benefits, the lifetime pensions and all those things. But I've always heard that there was some percentage that they were paid more than equivalent work. But I do not belong to the NTEA. You know what that is?
I do not.
It is the National Treasury Employees Union. They claim that federal workers are actually underpaid. By what percent? That's today's questions. What does the NTEA, the National Treasury Employers Union, say is the percent of underpayment that federal employees get? This is, well, the comments will come later.
Okay.
Once the guesses come in.
Sounds good. Well, we were talking about valuations of domestic equities, and there really isn't many measures by which you would not consider the market overvalued right now. It's with this recent run-up and the last earnings season, a lot of the trade is based on what people think will happen next year. Well, that is a big unknown, isn't it? I mean, there is a lot of potential problems between now and then that could get in the way of reaching what would bring these valuations to look normal. So I'm a little bit hesitant to go all in right now. And the other really big potential pitfall is interest rates. So let's say that the economy does just get right back on track next year.
Post-vaccination.
Yep, and everything is humming along fine. And eventually the Fed is going to have to recognize that and talk about it publicly.
But Adam, they promised they wouldn't.
But they have to. There's not a choice. I mean, it's either that or inflation starts to get out of control. So,
I'll tell you. I got to teach you some things today.
Right. So, anyways, that could, if the Fed even hints at the economy being on solid ground or that there could be a series of interest rate hikes coming, it doesn't even have to be in 2021. They could hint at it in future years. That could throw a major wrench in the works. And
expectations drop at that point.
Yeah, you could really see stocks react negatively to that. So that is that's a couple of big, really big potential problems that are looming in 2021. Not that I expect at either of them, but it could happen.
Do you believe in the Santa Claus rally?
I mean, it seems like the last few years it's been spot on.
It officially starts Monday.
Except for, wait, was it last year where equities declined in December?
Or was that 2 years ago?
I can't remember. 2 years ago. It might have been 2 years ago. But, yeah, it was 2 years ago where that trend was not realized.
God, it flies, doesn't it?
Yeah, it sure does.
Unbelievable.
But the I would say at least four out of the last five have been pretty strong rallies in December.
Well, there's no rule that can't be broken.
Yeah, for sure. So the story of 2020 was technology, a sector which now makes up 28% of the S&P 500. And in our opinion, this makes sense to a degree as the real growth in the economy has come out of the technology sector for the last 15 or 20 years. However, when a sector has a weight as high as that in the S&P, any kind of pullback in that sector can create a real shock to investor portfolios. Because whether you realize it or not, you probably have a technology-heavy portfolio. Even if you didn't intend it that way, if you're just buying SPY, automatically, more than a quarter of that is going to be invested in technology.
Yeah,
so
ETF that mirrors exactly the S&P 500 index.
Correct. Yeah, and that is a another potential thing that could shock the market next year is if there's any kind of pullback in technology. Which, again, I'm not expecting these things. It's just these are potential issues in 2021.
Yeah, actually, I think there's still pent up demand in technology.
There probably is, and I'm still bullish on it long run because I do think innovation comes from the tech sector, especially in this day and age. So I think there's going to be new companies that emerge as the leaders. It's not going to always be the five big ones that are on top right now. You will see the FANG, FAANG stocks. It'll be something else, but it's probably going to be another technology stock. So
will we see the breakup of Facebook and Google?
No, not under a Biden administration.
Correct answer.
Yeah, they give them every single employee of those companies voted for him. I don't see any kind of punishment being handed down from Washington.
They'll bring him up to the Hill and they'll sit him down and look very stern and they'll slap the back of their hand real gently and say, now go home and do what you say.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. Yeah.
Meanwhile, they're buying shares right before that because they know they'll fall. Right after that, they'll buy.
Yep, no doubt about it.
Oh, wait, that would be illegal. So they won't do that.
The another area of the market that's been overheated lately is IPOs. There's been a lot of irrational exuberance around IPOs, and the last few have doubled in price on within a few days. So that either means that the investment bankers who priced the IPO just did a horrible job at valuing the company, or that the market is overvaluing the stock based on irrational exuberance. And so I think it's mostly the latter of those two. It doesn't make a lot of sense for a stock to debut at one price after months and even years of valuation on the part of people who do this for a living, and then all of a sudden it's worth double the next day. It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, Elon Musk was kind of doing poor me, I guess would be the way to put it this week. He said, yeah, I would just love to take Tesla private, but I can't anymore. It's impossible. There's not that much money in the world. Remember when he was threatening to take it private at 430 or something like that? That was pre-split, by the way, folks. He should have put his money where his mouth was that day.
Yeah, he really should have.
Oh, man, they could go public right now. Can you imagine?
No doubt. So the pandemic has definitely changed how Americans live, and nowhere has that been more apparent than in the housing market this year.
Mm-hmm.
Home sales have been really strong, and sales and prices setting new records month after month. However, the data from November was released this week, and it was not great. It could be the holidays. It could be the lack of inventory on the market, and I'm certainly not calling it a trend, and I don't even think it's a trend at all, but the numbers were not good. The existing home sales dropped in November. They dropped 11%, and that included downward revisions to the last few months. So it was below even the most pessimistic forecast. Mm-hmm. So that was new homes, and then existing homes were down 2.5%, much closer to the expected. So existing home sales right now are. That was last month, but for the year, both of those numbers are actually near their highest they've been since 1999. So it's been a great year with a kind of a trail off towards the end of the year, but there's really just not much to buy right now. Existing home sales are at 2.3 months, which means that if you wanted to sell, it would only take 2.3 months to sell every house that's on the market at the current pace, which is really low. 6 months is considered the sort of where it's a buyer's and seller's market equally, and anything higher than that, and it's a buyer's market. Right now, it's definitely a seller's market, and it's really a seller's market in the sub 500,000 market. So people that normally buy or would look in the sub 500,000 market are actually creeping upwards, which raises the median price of homes sold.
It's self-correcting.
Yeah, eventually this will all catch up.
It's like when gasoline gets too high and people stop buying it so much, and then it falls.
Right.
That's going to happen in the housing market, too.
Eventually. I don't know if it'll happen in 2021,
though. No, so
the
different catalyst there is that the price of money is low and staying low.
So low. So, yeah, they were just talking about it. Angela and Howard were on the last show, and they were saying that the 15-year mortgage is now at just under 2.2%. Which is incredible. So if you can imagine how much more affordable that is when a year ago it was a point higher than that, you can now afford much more house than you could have even a year ago. So
and leave it to the market to understand that and raise the price of what they're selling.
Yep. And also they said that they threw out some numbers for Quicken Loans, and I guess they made mortgages about $130,000, but I think they did three times that in refis last year, which is pretty incredible.
That is amazing, isn't it?
Definitely. There was one other bit of economic news. Apparently, the GDP growth rate of 33.1% in quarter three wasn't quite good enough, so it was actually revised upward to 33.4%. And consumer spending on services and business investment were the largest contributors to that increase. And consumer spending was the largest contributor to that growth rate overall in Q3. Now, there's another problem. Right now, if we don't get another stimulus passed and get some checks out there, you might see that number start to decline at the end of this quarter. I'm pretty sure that will happen. And then next quarter is where the next stimulus would really benefit the consumer spending, because right now there's still a lot of people out of work, and a lot of people who are out of work don't spend money that much.
We hope not. Anyway, as I was saying right before the break, Congress is spending $580 billion of leftover money, which should have been put into the hands of Americans everywhere to help them through. You've got suicide rates going on and all that. Just for a point of interest, that's $1,575 $1,750 for every man, woman, child, and whatever other gender individual is out there in the whole country. Now, I can tell you there are a lot of people that could have used that money a long time ago. Just people are just bizarre. All right, we're going to take a short break and pay some bills. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Vanway Financial Hour the day after Christmas. Welcome back to the Vanway Financial Hour. I'm Steve Vanway.
And I'm Adam Vanway.
And our trivia question is still out there. According to the National Treasury Employees Union, by what percentage are federal employees underpaid relative to the private sector? I've got a couple of points of leeway in there, so take a pretty good shot at it and see what happens. Good morning, Eric.
Good morning. I was wanting to get your guys' opinion about this I don't know why, but it's become a controversial subject of the hack of all the different government agencies, including the Treasury Department and so on. And a lot of private companies, and it's apparent from the attack. I mean, we know very little about what's actually what they were after and what they're actually doing and what they're capable still of doing. But we do know when we look at the list of government agencies and the private companies that they had something in mind as far as disrupting our economic systems. And so I kind of wanted to get you guys' opinion about that. And also, I wanted to get your opinion about why there's been no response from the United States. And President Trump has said that it's not the Russians, it's the Chinese, despite the fact that all of our government agencies and his own people, including the Secretary of State, have stated that it is the Russians, it's most likely the Russians. But President Trump refuses to react in any way. This cyber attack was clearly intended to hurt the United States of America and the people within this country. This demands, absolutely demands, a hard response. And really, some of the things that Trump has done, including, deriding NATO and basically saying that the Russians are good actors and they're not trying to hurt us or anything, but we could, if we had a lot of allies in Europe, that would be the way to go about, one way to go about reacting, but we can't because we've alienated all these people through the past 4 years of the Trump presidency. So my two questions, one is what do you think about the potential damage to our economic system by the Russians? And secondly, why don't we have a firm and angry big response to this? We've done nothing but basically say that it wasn't them. So I'd like to get your reaction to those.
All right, questions. Well, let's start with one thing. If a Russian hacker hacks our system, did Russia do it?
Well, it wasn't a Russian hacker. It's the
I understand.
This group of hackers. Yeah.
But what it's if a group of hackers, let's say it's a sanctioned group, a comparable group to the WikiLeaks people, and they're out there hacking everything. Does that mean the government is sponsoring it? Not necessarily. That's the first thing.
But we know that the government is sponsoring these things.
I don't know that.
You don't know that, but nope. our the CIA knows that.
Well, did they tell you?
Various agencies know.
Did they tell you they know that?
They've stated as much. I don't know if you've been following what's been going on since 2016 and the initial interference with the election in 2016.
It's been happening a lot longer than that, actually. But,
yeah.
But that doesn't mean... Right. That doesn't mean there's nothing. This is my second point. Doesn't mean there isn't something going on. The difference between this administration and the prior one is the prior one announced everything, so nobody was surprised when something happened. This administration takes action but doesn't tell you about it until it's over.
What action have they taken against Russia?
We don't know, and they won't tell us, and they don't want to tell us, and they shouldn't tell us.
So you're basically saying that Trump is just being coy, that he's really just a really clever guy who...
It doesn't have anything to do with coyness. It has to do with administrative policy where we no longer tell our enemies what we're doing before we do it. And that was announced in 2016 and actually before that. It's ridiculous to announce everything you're going to do and then do it because they've already had countermeasures designed and developed. This is something of a matter of trust.
Yeah, but if you look at what's coming out of Washington, for everything from the reaction of senators and Congress people to the executive branch, we basically have all of our intelligence communities, the CIA.
50 of them were willing to sign a letter that was totally and completely not truthful within the last couple of months. I don't trust them as far as I can throw them.
Trust who? Your elected officials? Most of them, Republicans?
No, the people who've worked in these agencies, although I don't know if any of them are still employed by them, but I believe firmly that the best policy is to be very quiet and carry a very big stick and use it as needed, and I think that's what's going on right now.
And your evidence for this is what?
Your evidence that it was the Russian government? A bunch of people who lie all the time? Hey, you can't hate Trump.
Republicans, wait a minute. Those are Republicans who you vote for and support.
I don't vote for very many of them, and I support even fewer of them.
Okay, well, typically your kind of radio show and your type of broadcast is anti-Democrat and pro-Republican.
That is absolutely not true, and you know it.
Really?
This is a financial show. You know what? I'm really tired of you. There. You know, a never-Trumper, a Trump-hater, there are differences, but they're minor. You can't make your national and social and personal and foreign policy based on hating the president. Get over it, people. He's leaving. There's a 99% chance he's leaving. And you know what? I told my wife yesterday, when he's out of there, they're going to be just as unhappy as they were when he was in there. They cannot be happy. Good morning, Don.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
Oh, we're never better. How about you?
Well, I'm mad as hell.
About what this time?
I listen to the guy, the beam that comes on in the evening. And boy, I'm telling you what, he is a very brilliant, bright, articulate man. And you know, all he said, I checked it out, it is true. The damn Democratic Party will never get my vote again. I'd rather sit back and not vote than vote for another Democrat.
Yes.
For the life of me, I don't understand why our Justice Department ain't stuck up. And what's the matter with the Supreme Court? They don't want to work no more than get rid of them. How you get rid of them? You have to shoot them, because that's the only way you're going to get them out of there.
Well,
and I, for the life of me, do not understand the Supreme Court. They're supposed to be up there as brilliant black people with the ideas to keep this country under the firm hand of the government, but it's not.
You're not getting any arguments, are you? You won't get any arguments. Now, from our standpoint, it hurts people financially, and that's the only reason we care about this. You can listen to political radio 5 days a week from the early morning.
Not.
Right, me too, to the late night. And I know we bring in politics on the show, but we only do it when it affects your finances. And right now, that means what they're doing with the son of stimulus, as I call it, and so on. It's keeping people poor. It's putting people out of work. It's causing the suicide rate to go up. And every single person is less off financially.
Not to mention drug overdoses.
All of that stuff.
Depression.
It's killing us in the pocketbook. There's great prosperity in this country, and there always will be among a few. But it's the people on the margin that are being hurt by these politicians. And I, contrary to popular opinion, I detest most of the Republicans.
I can't
because there aren't any. We've got Rick Scott.
Well, so I want you to know something. I have a great deal of respect for the Republican Party. And you got to remember, when they founded this country, we are not a democracy. We are a republic.
That's one of my...
I will always, from here on out, live by every word of that.
Yep. That's one of my Christmas wishes, that people would stop using the word democracy, but the people who use it on purpose, so they won't stop.
Well, I don't think they know the difference.
Well,
to a large degree.
Some of them do. The bright ones do.
Yes. You know what the difference between a republic and a democracy means?
Yeah.
Way before this country shouted that words. You know what it stands for? Free people. Free people.
Yep. What
did
you
do? California, they're not free people.
All right, you want to know the
government? That government out there so backwards is pathetic.
Yep. You want to know the difference? What is the definition of a democracy? That's two wolves and a sheep voting on what's for dinner. You can stick that one in your craw. I appreciate the call. Thanks, Don. You have a good one. You know, this is very emblematic of what this country is in right now, and it's not getting better, and it's not going to get better, and Joe Biden is not going to make it better. It doesn't matter who you support. It's not getting better. All right, we got to take another little break, and we'll be right back. This is Van Wee Financial Hour, the day after Christmas. Welcome back to the Van Wee Financial Hour. I'm Steve Van Wee, still laughing.
And I'm Adam Van Wee.
Yeah, it's hard to be in a bad mood these days, isn't it?
Yeah.
Sunshine and Christmas is just done. But, you know, it is what it is, folks.
Yeah.
Adam has some follow-up comments he would like to make.
I just want to say I really, really despise politics. I despise the political process. I don't watch Fox News. I don't watch CNN. I won't watch any of them because they're all political all the time, and they're just trying to drive a wedge between the two sides in this country. It's all designed to do that. There's equally bad conspiracy theories on the right and the left. It's all the same. It's two sides of the same coin.
The wedge is inserted from both sides, waiting to split apart the mass.
It makes no sense to have these conversations about things that we honestly know nothing about, and it just angers everybody, and everyone walks away ticked off. And that's not the point of this show. And the point of the show is not politics. So,
it unfortunately interferes with the point of the show. But
the thing is, when it comes to finances, it doesn't make sense for us or our clients to raise taxes on them, and it doesn't make sense for them to implement massive spending programs, although Republicans are just as guilty as Democrats about that. And it just tends to be that the Republican side of the coin makes a little bit more sense for our business. So if it sounds like we're slanted that way, we are, but it's for good reason. So that is not what the point of the show is, and I do not want to talk about politics anymore because it just makes everybody angry.
And in the immortal words of the Kingston Trio, and I don't like anybody very much.
That's absolutely true.
Good morning, Bosco.
Yeah. Let's walk away from that.
Yeah, I agree.
I'm taking 20% on your question of the day. And my question is, in your crystal ball, when do you think they're going to bring in this added value tax that I'm sure they're going to bring in during the Biden, or at least look at?
Are you talking about a value-added tax for different parts of the manufacturing process?
Yes,
yeah, that's popular in other countries.
They'll bring it in the day they want this country to go straight to hell in a handbasket and never recover. I don't think it'll get through Congress with bilateral support. I don't think it would pass Congress.
Yeah, I don't know that's one that will make it through. I know it's popular in some circles, but I haven't seen a tremendous amount for support in the way of support for it recently. Have you been seeing something that would lead you to believe it might come up?
No, just with the other individual that I listen to quite often during the weekday, his prediction is that it will be coming in, but it's never been said. It's just that it's going to be inevitable. You know, there's, you know, it's all about keeping money in their pocket. You know,
I think it's a ways away. I don't think it'll be in one administration. I just don't think there's a much a deep popular support for it at this point. It's an ugly thing. It's a very ugly
thing. It is.
Yep. By the way, your 20% is a little too low.
Oh.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, then my first thought was, I'm not going to throw it.
I can't let you have more than one guess anyway.
And Bosco, I'm a little bit disappointed you didn't tell us some interesting place that you are calling from today.
The West Indies.
Well, I'm in the fabulous town of Daytona Beach.
All right. No, that's good. That's good.
It's probably not. Some of this heat that we are receiving, you know. But it's, you know, people pay big bucks for this kind of weather, you know.
And that's true.
Unfortunately, a lot of people can't come down here and enjoy this, you know. But, Daytona Beach, baby.
We wait and wait and wait to get it. And when it gets here, I can't wait for it to leave.
Yeah.
Hard
to
believe.
It's like the dog days.
Yeah,
it's like the dog days during the summer, you know.
No doubt.
We appreciate it. And thank you very much. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. And we'll talk to you next year.
Yes, and everything right back at you. You know, really enjoy your show. And I know, you know, the young man that called early in the game today, I've listened to him this morning. And interesting. Sounds like a very interesting guy.
Yeah. No doubt.
He brings a lot to the table, and he says it really says it all well.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's a good thing. We try to be entertaining and amusing and educational. So.
There you go.
All right.
There you go. Thank you much again.
Thank you for the call. Good morning, Larry.
Good morning, gentlemen. Quick guess, 25%.
That's just a little too high.
Oh, man.
That hurts.
And there's another caller.
Can I make a quick comment?
Yeah, sure. Of course.
You've got to decide if you're Republican or Republican.
Yeah, I like
you
that.
You've got to make that decision. And don't get upset about it. You're right. Keep it financial.
We do our best.
That's the reason I listen.
We do our best, and the only time it leaks is when there's something going on that affects every single man, woman, and child in this country.
Well,
like,
I understand.
Like this particular week.
It's hard to
week.
Separate.
Yeah, it really is. But we do our best. You, like I said, you can hear all that 5 days
gentlemen.
A week. All right, you take care of yourself. Thanks for
prosperity
the call.
Prosperity to go.
Thank you.
Lane.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Pretty good.
A little frosty out where you are, I'll bet, huh?
A little frosty still. Yeah.
Not surprised. Out in the dead center of nowhere, it got a little cooler than it did here.
Yep. And plenty of frost on the ground this morning.
Yep. What's on your mind today?
Well, a couple of things. You guys live in a place that's very high population of federal civil servants.
Yep.
Most of them truly tremendously outstanding individuals.
We agree.
I used to hire those folks.
Mm-hmm.
And so here's my comment. Starting salary. We used to comb universities, colleges throughout the southeastern U.S. And the Federal Civil Service for engineering talent, technical talent, is at a distinct disadvantage for starting salary.
Okay.
We used to have to push the patriotism, which, believe it or not, we have some young patriots. The Federal Civil Service is a little more stable for advancement. There's a little more predictable than private industry. And then for those individuals that were long thinking, long term, we would talk about the retirement and the options. So that was a good thing. And so we got our share. But definitely the starting salary, you know, was a disadvantage. We used to lose older engineers that would occasionally look for greener pastures. And again, we were at a salary disadvantage. So at the time, and I'm talking, I retired in 2007,
mm-hmm.
we felt we were about a 22% overall disadvantage.
Well, guess
again,
what?
That's one sector.
You just won.
What's that?
You just won.
I'll take it.
It's actually 23.1, but I do a plus or minus one on it, and 22 is solidly in there.
Okay, well, I appreciate that. But that's, just so your listeners understand, I didn't know of a specialty. The Federal Civil Service is broken down in engineering, administrative types, different specialties. So I didn't know one that was way above the prevailing wages, although I didn't work in those areas intensively. What the Federal Civil Service can be susceptible to is what we call grade creep.
Mm-hmm.
You can get, you know, it's a cycle. And again, we're talking about Congress, who we dearly love, that can't even dress themselves competently. you go through times of almost too much money during great economic times, and politicians who will appropriate and authorize that money. But then you go through times with severe shortages. So that affects your hiring ability. And so during the good times, you may get grade creep, which kind of is a permanent increase in pay across the board. And then in the tough times, you sit there and, no raises, and pay for it. So very difficult for the private sector to be behind the federal civil servant, in just my opinion.
My whole point in this thing was, like so many issues, there are people all around those issues, and you always have to consider the source when you're looking at someone's conclusion. Everybody's quick to say that the federal employees are 30% above overall, things like that. And we know that that's not always the case. And I just got it from an insider, and we appreciate it. I got to run. We got about 5 seconds. Merry Christmas. Happy New Year. Tell Pat we said hey. All right. We'll be back. This is the Van Wee Financial Hour.